today on Faithfully Fantasy.
Interesting bit about that interaction with Caroline Ashton is that we do not know Caroline Ashton's signet. I think it's some kind of mind work. Mm-hmm. Is she narrowing her gaze on Violet? Yeah, we know she doesn't like her because she killed her BFF. Or Bodhi comes behind Caroline Ashton, but I am so suspicious of Bodhi now. After someone commented on our Bodhi reel the other day, Imogen went to get Bodhi when Dane was fighting Violet, and she went to get him because he could counter Dane's signet.
The question is, why so much effort to keep Jack Barlow alive? And when I was thinking about it, the only thing that it makes sense for me, and we haven't seen it yet, is maybe the information that Jack cared about Feathertails and Treshen. When they were trying to kill Andarna, Jack was saying the Feathertails are useless in combat. They refuse to fight. Violet was like, where did he get the information? Because nobody knows anything about Feathertails.
So I think they are bonded mates. I think they are destined to be together. And I think they have this bond connection that's very similar to what dragons have. I think that comes from the fact that Violet may have part dragon magic within her, or blood, or something to do with dragon shells.
Okay. She's doing like the same rules that a dragon will do with a bonded mate.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Iron Flame.
I'm JC.
And I'm Sean.
And today we're going to be diving into chapters 25 to 28 of Iron Flame. So as you remember in previous episode, in previous chapter 24, the guys just managed to escape from the interrogation room.
Yeah.
And this week we just escape in.
Yeah, we pick up where we left off. We escape the room. Today we hit Battle Breath. Zolia has fallen. Samara has been attacked. We take a steamy shower. That's hard to say. A steamy shower. And we meet Catriona, thankfully, after the shower.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm guessing that in chapter 25 you're gonna be straight away to Epigraph.
I mentioned this at the end of last week's episode. If we ever choose to invade enemy territory, which we don't, I would choose Zolia as my first target. Take out Cliffsbane Academy and you take out years of Griffin Riders in one strike. Tactics, a personal memoir by Lieutenant Lyron Panchak.
Yeah, so not suspicious at all.
Not suspicious at all.
That was exactly what happened. So,
who did it?
Can we start to Lincoln, maybe Panchak with Atos and all these people that's inside the Basgiat, they had a directly link with the Vanin?
I am so suspicious of, I don't know what he is now, Commandant Panchak. Yes. At the time he was Lieutenant. I'm so suspicious of him because you remember when we first meet Violet, Rhiannon together in the quad after they pass over the parapet.
Yes.
There's a conversation that involves Panchak. Rumour has it he is after General Sorengil's job, and because he wants Melgrin's job, so it's like a stepping stone. He's clearly ambitious.
Yes.
He clearly wants to get to the top. We don't know much about him. He fumbles around a little bit in the death roll and some of the times when he's talking at war games and the squad battles, he kind of introduces them. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about him, but he was with Colonel Atos and General Sorengil when they were coming down the steps, right?
Am I remembering
that right?
I think so.
Panchak was there with Colonel Atos and General Sorengil when they were coming down the steps down the side of Gauntlet, and they started talking about Feathertails. So we know Panchak and Atos are interested in the Feathertails.
Mm-hmm.
He is described at one point in Fourth Wing as having a politician's smile, which I know that, like, you shouldn't tar all people with the same brush, but if someone's got a politician's smile, it means they're often kind of lying through things and...
Yeah, something fake.
Something fake, totally. Yeah. So I don't think we can trust Panchak. And it just comes back to that point where we think Atos and Varish are raising some kind of Venin army or something? And was it them on Panchek's kind of strategy that took the attacked Zolia? It's really suspicious that it's here.
Panchek is a really interesting character because he's always in the shadows, so you don't see that many details about him in both books. But the little details that you have, they are not like good on his favor. Because one of the details I remember as well, when Viola says, well, he was talking about, if you had an issue, take it with your wing leader because you don't want me to be involved. And then he had like a sinister smile or something. Yeah. So Violet doesn't trust him, or Violet thinks there's something going on with this person.
Yeah. And he was the one who, he was there when the night after the unbonded cadets attacked Violet in her room in Fourth Wing. Mm-hmm. He was on the dais when Amber Mavis was executed.
Yes.
So we don't trust Panchak.
Yes, we don't trust Panchak. So that was the epigraph. And then we start straight away with the chapter, They Managed to Escape. It's Rhee, the first one to ask to, how is this professor called?
Grady.
Grady, yeah. Like, give me that badge.
Yeah, because we'll take that patch now.
Yeah. So it was funny, but yeah, once they were out, that's it. They were the end of the exercise. And apparently they were like the only ones they had done it so far, because the other teams, they've been breaking as a Varish was predicted or expecting. But they managed to go through all of that. And from this, we just go straight away to battle brief, when a couple of the interesting things happens. The first thing is they go into their places and they find a note.
Before that, though, did you notice the suspicious scribe walking through the courtyard?
Yes, there was some reference about somebody going, but there's no reference about who it was. You can't tell if I was somebody known from the scribes.
So we know, we find out later that Devera was the one that actually planted the news article, the like missives.
Yes.
In the room. So I had a suspicion that this was just Devera in disguise. She was like running through the, walking through the quadrant. I don't think scribes run, do they? But no. They were walking through the quadrant, taking the leaflets. But either way, she had to have an accomplice, surely, because they set up the printing press and they set up, like, all of that stuff. Surely Devera must have some scribe friends. And I'm not sure if it's Jacinia.
No, it has to be more people involved as well. People, they start to realize there's something going on. And thinking this, maybe the scribes, they had a bigger role when they start to record, and maybe they're changing what happens.
Yeah.
Because they're the one who give the information to the rest of the world. So probably there were gonna be people there, like the filters. This shouldn't go to...
Yeah, I would imagine to contain it, a lot of it goes via Markham. Mm-hmm. And the scribes in the room on the press don't actually know what happened. So it would be changed before they got there to do it. So I think there'd be quite a tight-knit amount of people that would actually know it. And it seems like it's only people above a certain rank, doesn't it?
Yes.
I thought it was suspicious. We never actually find out who it is, but I'm sure it's Devera in disguise.
Yes. Yes, I think since the attack, when she came back, and I think she realized there was like Venin and Wyvern, she obviously, she changed. And then she started maybe working, I don't know if I by herself.
She just takes the cloak off, maybe. Like, it's just a scribe cloak, isn't it? Yeah. And then they get intercepted by Caroline Ashton and some other cadets from First Wing. And they're talking about the classified patch, and rumour has it they've survived. But I think it's weird. Like, Violet picks her up on this tiny detail about how she said you escaped the room, or it took them a whole day to reset the room after you escaped. And she said the fact that, Violet in her head, she's like, the fact that she's calling it room and not rooms means nobody's talking. I mean, she missed this tiny detail that it's one room and not three. But people mm-hmm. are obviously talking because they've escaped and yeah. they had to reset the room. So anyway, the interesting bit about that interaction with Caroline Ashton is that we do not know Caroline Ashton's signet. And I think it's some kind of mind work because listen to this. Mm-hmm. Stick together, I add, holding Caroline's gaze even when she narrows it on me. So mm-hmm. she's narrowing her gaze on Violet. Yeah, we know she doesn't like her because she killed her BFF or, I don't know, they were more than friends. Mm-hmm. But killed, in inverted commas, as we're about to see. But Bodhi comes behind Caroline Ashton. I don't know if you noticed this, but I am so suspicious of Bodhi now. After someone commented on our Bodhi reel the other day, and they said that Imogen went to get Bodhi when Dane was fighting Violet. She didn't go to get him because he's the closest thing to Zayden. She went to get him because he could counter Dane's signet yeah. and he could stop Dane reading her memories, which is awesome. I'd never even thought of that. So now I'm on Bodhi watch. Bodhi yeah. comes up behind Caroline and says, "Shouldn't you all be in battle brief?" And I'm wondering if Caroline's trying something mm-hmm. on Violet and she's narrowing her eyes because it's not working because Bodhi's behind her. Mm-hmm. Countering her signet.
Okay, so we're back to the conversation that we don't know exactly how body signet works because you see the other signet, they have like a process. So they have to lower down the shields and then start to like focus about channel. What they're going to do with the signet and everything. So we had this discussion that we don't know if just because body is there, then like...
No, I think no, he consciously has to like,
if,
counter
it. If he feels that somebody's using the signet, he know what it is yeah. and then he knows how
Spidey
to...
Spidey senses. Signet senses. I just think Bodhi's signet is so cool.
Yeah, but for me, the only way that it works is when somebody's going to attack or something, then he just his thing and he doesn't even know what is doing. He knows that whatever is coming after him, it won't work.
It'll be way more subtle than that. Just why did Imogen go and get him? Then
because she probably said you need to go there and make sure that Dan is not going to yeah. use the signet. So he do his thing and then he's in focus. And then
I don't know. I think he's protecting Violet here from Caroline. I don't know what Caroline's signet is, but
well, I like the idea that it's more things going on in the background and you just.
You don't know.
Ignore it. Yeah. And then,
it's
so much
that
details.
Eyes narrowing. Obviously, Caroline doesn't like Violet because she took down a mountain on top of Jack Barlow. But it's the eyes narrowing that makes me think she's trying something that's not working.
Yes.
Anyway. Zolia has fallen to yeah. dragon fire.
Blue fire. Which?
Blue fire dragons.
Yeah.
And their riders. An estimated 10,000 lives have been lost, including General Fenella, the commander of Bravik's Griffin fleet. Couple of things. 10,000 lives. That is a lot, isn't it?
I remember that when we were talking about Rhysand, it's not as big as this one, because this one, I think, is like the third biggest province. Mm. But still, you don't imagine there's that many people in just one place because we're talking about hundreds or maybe
no,
a few thousand.
No, I think it's just a city. You're talking like maybe in the UK, it could be like 100,000, but not that many people would die. That's yeah. the thing. It's like a lot of people dying. We've learned a couple of things about Poor Emil, and we know that Bravik is a province within Poor Emil or a region. But it sounds like they all have their own Griffin fleets. Probably have a Bravik fleet, a Signeason fleet, and a Crovelish fleet. And they all have their own separate commander. Mm-hmm. Which explains a little bit later about why one particular fleet might attack Samara when Zayden is helping out another fleet. Mm-hmm. All trade routes to the city have been barricaded to prevent further loss of life. So we can assume now that that's a Venon stronghold. It sounds like they've captured Zolia, they've taken over the academy, and they are training their own Venon recruits. This is what I believe Atos and Panchek are doing. I think they're the ones that are training them. For the first time ever, they be- they seem organized. They seem like they're growing an army. This is the tea, isn't it?
Yes. That's why that epigraph is so suspicious, because Pancho was suggesting by the time when he was a lieutenant was exactly what is going on. And we know that he's suspicious, and we know Atos is deeply involved with the Vannon. So the thing that we don't know is how many people are involved. We little by little, we'll start to see that. And that's something that is in the blood of Onyx Stone as well, as so many people
among our ranks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Panche definitely is going to be one of them.
I don't even know if they're Vannon. I don't know if they're just controlling the Vannon. Mm-hmm. They're just building an army, but there's something going on.
Yeah.
And the Oscar for Best Actress goes to Professor Devera, because when she gets handed one of the notes, she looks shocked, and then she looks at the map as though she didn't put them there in the first place.
Yes. But a lot of people... they were like after Violet as well, just is this real? Is this possible? Mm. And Violet was just thinking about it being like logical, like, yeah, could be, could not, or like 50% chance. But then it's Markham, the one that is like really disappointing, because everyone just believe it so easily, which again is so like ironically for me, because he is like disappointed they believe what they had read, when he is the one who gives everything for everyone for him to...
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. That's so funny.
Yes,
so he's criticizing them for believing what they read.
When he is the one who gives the information for them to believe.
So funny.
He should be happy for that.
Yeah. That's really funny. So at one point she says, so he criticizes them and she says, suddenly I feel 15 again, my self-worth determined by this man's opinion of my intellect and control. And I think that's quite sad. It shows just how foundational, she's shaken to the core by this whole thing. She once looked up to this man. She wanted to be his next, like his right-hand woman. And now she can't trust a word he says. So it just, like, it shows just how much of a life-changing thing this is. Like, her self-worth determined by this man's opinion of my intellect and control.
Yeah.
Like, that's really sad. Like, if she's measuring her self-worth against this man, and she finds out that he is fundamentally a bad person, and she calls him vicious.
Yes.
And then they talk about discredit, deflect, then distract.
Yeah, I got that in my notes as well. It straight away caught my attention, because for me, we're like, well, this could be a hint that something we will see more often with Markham, or maybe it's just Rebecca Yarros talking about what she's doing as well during the book. So maybe something that she's...
She's breaking the third wall.
Yeah, that she's doing.
The wall. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that it's something that maybe she's using for her writing as well. Yes.
I think it's interesting, because I was like, how does Violet know all this? How does Violet know what the scribe's tactics are for news like this without her knowing that they lie all the time? So they must be taught, like, if you see some fake news, even though this isn't fake, now Violet knows this isn't fake. This must be how they... stop it. I don't know, it's weird. Otherwise, how would she know that the discredit, deflect, distract tactic, unless she was being told that they were lying?
Yeah, that's basically the tools that she know that Markham or the scribes they use. When Markham was just talking about it, she was like, okay, so this discredit, that was deflect, and now distract. So he was doing exactly what she was thinking. But definitely, I think we will see this either later in this book or maybe in our next store. We will see something. It can apply the same three tools.
Yeah, I feel like it, though, that it has to come through the Vannon route, though, doesn't it? Because most people know now. Or they say at the end of Iron Flame that they will still be able to keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But what he does is really clever, especially around the blue dragons. So he says, since when have we flown a riot purely consisting of blue dragons? mm-hmm. when actually it was blue fire dragons, but nobody can see it now. So they all just think, yeah, that's a good point. We never just fly blue dragons. In fact, we only know of two blue dragons. We know, yes. and we have, well, at this point, we only supposed to know about one, Sigale. We haven't met Oryx blue dragon yet.
Yeah.
Cue the distraction.
Yes, and the distraction, oh yeah, I remember there was one of my moments when I was like, I knew it!
I had no idea.
But you didn't?
Well, no, because imagine like how quickly I was chaining these books. I wasn't really, I was just like, couldn't get enough the first time I read them. I did not suspect that Jack was coming back. I thought Jack was there as a plot, as a character, purely to bring out Violet Signer. And he did his job, because you know, you develop a character, they have a job. Once they've done their job, they can die in this type of book. And I genuinely thought that Jack's job was to bring out Violet Signer and also be her first kill. I thought that it was going to be quite a poignant, like, first kill. But that means her first kill wasn't actually a kill.
For me, it was obvious. Because the people who we can see maybe in the chapters from Fort Wayne, you were like, oh, but he died. He's coming back. How are you coming back?
I was probably...
Yeah, you're trying to say, no, he's not coming back. You are doing it like, to give me the surprise. Like, oh, yeah, he's back. But for me, they were like the books had rules to follow. And his dad didn't follow the rule that his name wasn't mentioned at all in the death rule. So, like, yeah, he's not dead. And boom, he came back. And
why?
That is another thing, because Markhan is the one who said this has been one of the biggest achievements as a Mender by Nolan.
In our history.
In history on the Menders. Why Jack Barlow? Because first, they don't give a shit about cadets.
Cadets die all the time. Why didn't they just leave him there?
Exactly. Second, yes, he was a Venom when he died, because we have confirmation he was a Venom before.
He channeled on the mat, didn't he?
Yes. That's how the first time the Violet saw there was something going on with
him. So they knew. Somebody knew, and somebody went to get him out.
So the question is, why so much effort to keep Jack Barlow alive? Even if I is half Venom, or if he's an initiative or the Venom thing, because I think they don't give that much shit about it. But then when I was thinking about it, the only thing that it makes sense for me, and we haven't seen it yet, is maybe the information that Jax cares about Feather Tales, because it reminds me in Threshing, when they were trying to kill Andarna, and then Jack is the one who is like leading these two guys to kill Andarna. And
I think he was trying to get her blood.
Yeah. But the thing is that when Violet was hiding and then Jack was saying the Feather Tails are useless in combat, they refuse to fight. And then Violet was like, where did he get the information? Because nobody knows anything about Feather Tails. So how does he know that?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he'd been involved in something about Feather Tales.
Yeah, suspicious. So when I was thinking about this, I think there's, and I hadn't thought of it from that, so now I think there's four reasons why they keep him alive. So one, he could have information about Feather Tales. That's a really good point. Two, we've spoken about it before, this absolute crackpot theory that he's like an illegitimate child of Melgren or somebody really important, or a king, or somebody really important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaning to that one, but I do love it as a theory. Like, he would have to have a random surname, Barlow. I don't know.
Illegitimate son of Melgren,
exactly.
But then again, if it's the illegitimate son of Melgren, why he take like so much effort to bring him back to life if he doesn't care about him to recognize him as son?
Number three, they want to see if they can cure a Venom. So he's a known Venom. They go and get him, and they're trying to mend him. That is giving them 100% the benefit of the doubt. So that is giving Nolan the benefit of the doubt. That's giving Markham the benefit of the doubt. They think that they can control Venom, so they're trying to cure him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is that he is part of the army, and they need him because they can continue working out how to control him. So it's similar to the last one, but it's more with a we can control the Venon and make them do our fighting kind of stance.
Yeah. The thing is that obviously after the attack by Violet, the first time that she used the signet, well, the first time that she used the signet as an attack, that he fell off from this tower and he got, well.
I've just had a thought.
What is it?
Sorry, I interrupted you. You finished first, but I've just had one of those aha moments.
Okay, so he fell off from this tower. All this rock and all this stuff fell out on him. He didn't die because he's a Venon, so somehow he survived. So maybe that's one of the reasons as well when they say they found the body, they found out that he's still alive. So that may be given like, okay, this guy is tough. We need to do something just to see if we can save him. We can do something for keeping.
And then they find his Venon.
I think they knew already.
Yeah, I think they knew already. So yeah. I think he's Venon.
I think it was surprising that he didn't die. Mm-hmm. And then because he didn't die, like, okay, let's see if we can bring him back.
Yeah. So the attack that killed Mason Sanborn.
Yes.
Did Jack just escape the infirmary?
Just Jack Barlow doing the attack, you mean? Or
one Venon. One Venon is pretty bad.
Yeah, but he's not a full Venon.
But all the leadership would be like, shit, he's escaped.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like my aha moment.
I mean, he was most of the time in infirmary, according with Nolan, but not always. So I don't know if he was doing something.
There's a suspicious mention where she's like, I can't even find it now. She's like, I'm not worried because he's been in the infirmary. I've only got better. I've been fighting. I've been getting better on the mat. I've been getting. He's just been in the infirmary.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been sparring.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Rebecca would have written that if he hadn't been like getting his strength up or being trained somehow? That's what it made me feel like. Made me feel like he was being trained in there.
We know that by Nelly Dieno, Adam Flynn, they're fighting, Jack Barlow is coming back, but I don't see that he does something more than he had not been doing before. I mean, he killed his own dragon, spoiler alert. But do you remember if he used like his signet at some point or anything?
Close. No, so I thought his signet was inflicting pain.
Well, and
I thought
Venon.
But that was just channeling power directly into her. Apparently, Rebecca Yaris has confirmed that afterwards. So we don't know what his signet is, but
no, I think we never knew.
Yeah.
Because kill the dragon before do something.
Yeah, but I think you still have your signet, don't you?
After kill the dragon.
Well, it's supposed to, I don't know, I was talking about this the other day. Is it supposed to be a unique thing between a rider and a,
yeah,
what the rider needs?
Like chemistry, isn't it? Between dragon and rider.
But Zayden's shadow wielding gets a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is because Sigale is still channeling. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Until Onyx Storm, we don't know. But you'd think if the dragon was cut off, the signet would be gone. But I don't think so. I think the source just changes because you could manifest the signet potentially.
Yeah, once they know what it is, how to dominate it, they just, yeah. And
yeah, but maybe a Venon could. It doesn't matter where you're channeling it from, the sky or the ground, but it's a measure of what you truly need and the magic mm-hmm. you're channeling, whether it's from. So I feel like you can have a signet anyway.
Yeah.
But we don't know. And she says it all makes sense now. Caroline Ashton being in the infirmary, the secrecy, Nolan's exhaustion. It literally does not make sense, Violet. She says it makes sense, but it doesn't. Why would they try so hard to keep Jack alive? And that is the question that I am surprised she's not asking.
Yeah, had they managed to bring him back to life? Because I think Markham is the one who said that Nolan, a man bone by bone. So, obviously, he was in a really bad condition.
Good.
Not much.
Although he does save us soon. Anyway.
Yeah.
Chapter 26?
Chapter 26, yes. Epigraph.
Menders are not healers. Healers are bound to the Code of Crichton, sworn to aid all in the time of need and never to harm a beating heart. Menders are riders. They're only sworn to the Codex. They can as easily bring harm as heal.
Mm-hmm.
What did this make you think of? This made me think of Brennan.
I knew it will.
Another tick in the Brennan is bad box.
We knew this. Just because you are able to mend, that doesn't mean that you are constantly just being like a healer.
Yeah, or you're doing everything. It doesn't necessarily mean you're doing it for the right reason. And that is what makes me think that Brennan... you're supposed to think of this as being Nolan. And later on, Nolan does do harm with the lemonade, the poison lemonade. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's bigger than that, and because I'm so suspicious of Brennan at the moment. I want to like Brennan. I want him to be doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But I do think he's super suspicious. And so what this is saying is that healers, when they become a healer, they swear to always help and never harm and do the best thing for people.
Yeah, that's like medical students when they swear to always help once they turn into doctors. I can't remember. That has a name as well. But
don't know.
Yeah.
The Code of Crichton.
Hippocratic? I can't remember.
I don't know.
In English, yeah.
Major Frederick's Modern Guide for Healers.
So healers has a code as well. I find that interesting as well. What they can say there, but healers basically are just medicals are always like just trying to help no matter what.
Menders have a strategy, particularly if they are very good at strategic thinking, like Brennan.
Well, you can see like Nolan is mended to keep torturing, so that's not really thinking about helping, isn't it?
Yeah, good point. And that's what I think you're supposed to be thinking of here, Nolan, but it's just, it screams Brennan to me.
Brennan, definitely there's something wrong about him. The only thing that is not clear yet is if he's conscious about it or there's maybe something going on there.
He thinks he's doing the right thing. That's what I thought. I thought he was kind of one of those characters where he's convinced himself he's doing something for Navarre and it's the right thing to do, but actually he's on the wrong side of the war. But when Jack's on his way back to his seat, he gives Violet like a little nod. And I was wondering why he did that. One, is it because he's not channeling at the moment and he's not as bad? And that gives me hope for Venon's Aiden. If he's not channeling, he can still be himself.
Mm-hmm.
Although the blurb that was shared this week does make me think that, because I do think he's training cadets anyway. But it could also be that he's got this warped idea that we find out later that he feels like she gave him a second chance by taking him out, which makes no sense at all. And I'm going to have to get to that point next week when it happens. And it's just a bit of a weird thing.
For me, I think it just as like, hey, I'm back, more like anything else. Well, it was weird later on when you start to see that he's like a new man, that he's like completely changed, that he's helping her, he's safer at some point.
He's playing a game. But he doesn't want to be caught.
I was thinking that, okay, could be that he changed that much, that maybe Nolan, like, mend the brain. He's not a bad guy anymore. It
has to be the soul.
Oh, well, everything. But then, yeah, he was a Venom, and the Venom wants Violet alive. So he was your thing, following orders.
Yeah,
keep
good
her
point.
Alive.
Yeah. So she wasn't actually in danger
after
he became a Venom.
No.
She was in more danger before he became a Venom because he wanted to kill her. He wanted to throw her off the parapet. Do you know, we've talked a little bit about being suspicious of dragons in general and how distract, deflect, discredit, whatever, the three D's.
Discredit, deflect, distract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's him, Tern growls. Bade has kept the truth hidden for these months. I can see him, says Violet. I'd ask how the fuck a dragon hides something in the veil, but Andarna isn't exactly common knowledge either.
So no, all the dragons know about Andarna.
What else are they hiding?
Oh, a lot of things. We've been talking about there's like three kind of dragons. The one they want to be involved against the Venom, the one they don't want to be involved, and then the one they want to work directly with the Venom. Mm. So there must be so many secret about dragons and the groups.
And there's a massive hint that Jack is a Venom here. Jack is alive. Fine. He's hardly the worst thing I've faced last year. I brought down not only one, but two Venom. In the same sentence. And at this point, we don't know that he's a Venom. But Rebecca has literally just told us in the sentence. And this is why I feel like Nostradamus's prophecies, once something's happened, you can link things back to the clues and the foreshadowing. And like it's kind of like shooting an arrow at the wall and drawing the target on afterwards. But people still say to me on... when I'm chatting to them on Instagram, there's still a few people that are like, you're giving Rebecca Yarros way too much credit. She didn't even think about that when she wrote it. There is no way Rebecca Yarros didn't think about this stuff when she wrote it. She is so clever. Like, putting that just in the same sentence, she spelled it out. She spelled out that Jack is Venom. And I just know that when we get to the end of Onyx Storm, we're going to go back to Iron Flame. There's going to be so much stuff.
It's going to be foreshadowing everywhere.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, definitely, she knows about it. As a writer, you may like the structure, you build the story, and then after that, when you start editing, is when you start to polish in, and then it's when you start to, oh, I'm going to put this here, like put a little seeds and put a little things. That by the end, when the people read the whole story, then start to catch all these kind of things. So it's deliberate, done. It's not something that, oh, Rebecca Yarros just... she was just writing and then she got lucky that he wrote like a good story or it makes sense by the end. No, this is delivered, done.
Yeah, exactly. So much stuff.
Definitely.
So then we find out that unprecedented attack on one of our largest outposts happened again. Mm-hmm. Devera says something really interesting here. Mm-hmm. She says, and this, cadets, is no conjecture, no propaganda. So she's talking directly at Markham here. No game. And she's saying that it sounds like she's saying that Zorlia news was the game, was the propaganda. But the last word is said with a sideways glance at Markham. So she's clearly directing this. This is not a game. I know the game you're playing. Mm-hmm. It's clearly a sign she doesn't believe him. But I can't believe that Devera is the first person to find out about Venom and want to do something about it and rebel. So how do they control this thing? Are they using people like Imogen to wipe the memories of the people that found... So as soon as they get any sign that somebody's rebelling, are they bringing in Imogen?
You know, I'm not sure about it. I think it all depends how recent the events happened. Because I was thinking in the beginning, it could be like you have Denatos to see the last memories and then they start to see, oh yeah, this person knows a lot, then brain image and wipe it. But that means that then we'll know if they're wipers or Venom. He had no clue that that's real. So he doesn't know what's going on yet at this point. But then when Yesenia, she was reporting this guy that was asking for something that she couldn't find because it doesn't exist about a reporter in the world. Why didn't wipe the memory? Why they kill him, basically?
Because it happened so long ago.
Yeah. So obviously they don't have somebody that it can read memories. So I don't know if Aden is the only one or they have somebody just interrogating. Just to know he's lying until finally tell the truth in the brain Imogen.
I don't think she's the only one that can wipe signals.
Yeah, but Imogen... So far, it's just recent memories, isn't it? So if something maybe happened 2 weeks ago, she might not be able to do it.
Yeah, we don't know.
So I guess all depends on the situation. They apply one technique or the other one. Or when they say like, yeah, this person knows a lot, we can't do anything, then you need to die.
Yeah.
You're not going to graduate.
But we find out that Samara has been attacked and that's the reason for Sigil's anger. What made her so angry? So there's a couple of things, isn't there? She could be angry because Zayden hesitated, because we find out that he hesitated because he wasn't sure if it was Serena. She could be angry because they're attacking and they're trying to help them, but obviously 23 daggers isn't really helping. Or she's just generally angry that there's been an attack. But I tend to feel like she was angry because Zayden hesitated.
Yeah, Danelli killed her rider, and that may be the thing that pissed her off.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't hesitate, even if I Serena attacking him, he should just kill her.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Deborah does like a little sign to Violet to say that there was one injured, and then Violet knows. She knows.
I don't have much to say. I really like Deborah. She's showing here, this whole lesson, she's showing that she's good.
Yeah, she had like a special interest in Violet. Mm-hmm. She's trying to help. But I found it like really interesting in this scene when Violet found out that shit is Zayden or could be Mira as well. Well, this moment is more Zayden. It's the one that is like really badly injured and she needs to go. And there's Mark on like, God, there's a wrong girl, stay or yeah. Don't go. And she, turn it away for you, just come.
Yeah, it's not all Tan. She can't compartmentalize her feelings, but she is worried for Zayden.
Yeah, I think it's all mixed. We turn in her own feelings as well.
I think that Violet and Zayden are fated mates, bonded mates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this comes down to the potential dragon link, or the link that Violet has with dragons. I am sure, and there's a number of bits of evidence that we'll come to in the next chapter. So I think they are bonded mates. I think they are destined to be together. And I think they have this bond connection that's very similar to what dragons have. I think that comes from the fact that Violet may have part dragon magic within her, or blood, or something to do with dragon shells. I don't know.
She's doing like the same rules that a dragon will do with a bonded mate.
Yeah, and there's several things. She's scenting him. So there's a reference to the fact that he smells like leather and mint and mine. And then she's like, Jesus Christ, or am I scenting him? There's the reference to the fact that Zayden has been hers longer than she could know, that he says previously. Those types of things are not normal. They're not just normal relationship. Something to do with a bond that isn't caused by the fact that Sigil and Tan are linked. I'm sure they are fated to be together. They are mates.
I really like that, because it will make sense if in the end we find out that Violet, she actually has dragon blood, or she had dragon magic. She's related to the dragons, and then she's behaving with the same thing that a dragon will do.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Bodhi follows her out, and this for me, he gives her the jacket. The jacket that causes a lot of problems and that causes us to be suspicious.
He cares a lot about her.
It's Tan. He nods. Go.
Yeah.
Bodhi is
two
ranks above her.
Mm-hmm.
That for me is you're allowed to go. Because it's not like some random even Rhi is her squad leader. It's not like Imogen said, go, you've got to go. That would mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Rhi had said go, or if Bodhi had said go, or if Dane had said go, or obviously one of the leadership that's within her rank, then that's fine. Because also later on, not in this section, in chapter 29, the epigraph says that punishment lies with their superior ranking officer, which is within their rank. I don't feel like that is Panchak or Farish, but anyway.
Yeah.
That for me is leave. Approved leave.
The thing is that Markhan, he is the one who says to her that she can't go, that she needs to stay. So,
but he's not her ranking officer. He's a scribe.
But he's a colonel, and she's not supposed to be allowed to.
Yeah, just but you remember when she's in RSC in the land now, of course, and they don't give a shit about the infantry.
Mm-hmm.
The infantry, like general or whatever.
Yeah.
Professor, she doesn't. They don't give a shit about what she says. They don't even like stop talking to listen to her. So they don't. Markham is not a superior ranking officer.
You know when she needs like a leave, when she's going to see Saida, was Melgren, the one who guaranteed that. I think when Aitos given the...
Yeah.
So it's, we're talking about the ranks and Basgard.
Yeah.
And Bodhi and even then Aitos, the win leader, they're just between the group. But then we have like the ranks of Basgard.
Yeah, but I'd still use it as part of my argument when I got back. Like my squad, my section leader told me I could go. He's my superior ranking officer. I know you're right, though. So she goes.
Yes.
Chapter 27. By their third year, a rider must attain full and complete control over their shields. Otherwise, in moments of extreme stress, they are susceptible to being not only influenced by their dragon's emotions, but controlled by them.
Yeah, so a little bit of what we saw before and what we'll see on this chapter as well. Do you think there's something else that we can get from this epigraph or just only, this chapter?
Only that I wonder if anyone else has been in that situation. Like, what's the evidence that this happens? Who is controlled by their dragon?
I guess because controlling your shields is not like an easy task, because even for somebody like Violet, she's been struggling to manage it, and depends on your dragon as well. The more powerful your dragon is, the more control you need about your shields, and not always guarantee that you're going to be able to keep it apart. So I'm guessing if you're not practice enough and then you go to the third year and you still not shielding properly, then yeah, your dragon's emotion, it will take over yours, because that was pretty much what happened right in the beginning, where Terran started channeling Violet. And then he straight away started to get it on with a girl.
Yeah.
She was feeling everything.
He was so happy that he'd managed to channel. Do you know who this made me think of?
Well,
I am so suspicious of Kath.
Kath? Why?
Dane's dragon. She's got bad breath. She's like, oh, I don't know. That's really, I'm suspicious. And it says by the third year, so it made me think of someone in the third year who was Dane. Mm-hmm. We know he does have good shields, because he says to her right at the beginning that it gets weaker and weaker, but there's still times where it's really hard to control. Mm-hmm. So we know that he finds it hard, but he also can do it most of the time. They are susceptible to being not only influenced by their dragon's emotions, but controlled by them. And I have a real suspicion that Kath has decided that there's nothing to do, and she chose Dane because she's sympathetic to what her dad might be doing, maybe his dad might be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a feeling that Dane and his dragon are not going to be on the same brainwave.
Then maybe Dane will turn into a puppet at some point, maybe.
We know something. That he's capable of it, because essentially he was a puppet for his dad, wasn't he? He was just doing what his dad told him. So he's quite impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me think of Dane, just because of the third year reference, because of the fact that Kath has bad breath, and we associate that with being sympathetic to Venom or whatever. That's, again, not confirmed. It's just...
Yeah, we'll see our trade there. Yeah.
Yeah, it just made me think of Dane. I think he's going to end up being controlled by Kath. I think he's going to break his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how.
Oh, poor Dane. No mom, that is the bad guy of the story. No dragon, no Violet.
Oh no, but I don't feel too sorry for him. He's really annoying. Right, so they're at Samara. We give you one.
Okay, so she arrives. She's squeezing through the gate so she can go faster. And then she found out that Mira is fine. The Mira is there. She's the one who told the Seidan is in the gym, I think, says. But she turns out there what he's doing there.
Sparring with Garrett, because if he's not tired, just...
Yeah. And nothing else to do, so yeah. It's going to just spare. But yeah, she didn't even think anything. She's in the gym then straight away. And the one she was working there, like, why is he in the gym? Like, maybe it's so bad that he can't even go to his bedroom.
The infirmary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he sees that he's just
kicking out Garrick's butt like, really badly.
Yeah, I like the fact that Mira says, from what I hear, your man is the reason we still have an outpost. She's accepted.
Yeah, I think they are like besties here.
Yeah.
And the way that she was talking there, it was like admiration, basically.
Yeah. And so he's sparring with Garrick, and he's being a bit rude, to be honest. He's like, get faster. You're not fast enough. You're too slow. You're not very good. Like, we know that he's like king of tough love, but Garrick could have been one of the riders. We don't know if Garrick was on patrol or whether he was one of the three that defended the post. We don't know what Garrick's signet is.
Yeah.
So, but he's just telling him to get faster.
Yeah, it's making Lula soft. And considering that Zaydan killed the prince, because the prince was like bullying Garrick, it doesn't give him like a good impression that he's like a tough guy or like a soldier or anything, like somebody that just constantly needs help. And then, I mean, at least in this scene, it's like Zaydan being really tough with him.
Yeah, Zayden's the bully now.
Yes.
And he's like, you can't bully him, but I can.
Yeah. Like, you have no right to do it. It's my job.
I'm the bully. Yeah.
But, yeah, he sees Violet there, and then he's like, what she's doing here? And then straight away, boom, elbow in the face of Garrick, we're done.
Yeah, an elbow in the
face. Ouch.
His eyes widen like he can feel the chaos within me. And I, like, me and someone I work with, we always describe, like, ourselves as being so chaotic. And this line I really sympathize with. There's so much chaos within me all the time.
Yeah, I wonder what exactly he means. Like, she had, like, maybe crazy eyes or, like, the face expression.
She couldn't control. She couldn't control it. So she's, like...
Yeah, it's like a panic attack or something. And then he said, this is not you.
Yeah.
Then he does something to help.
This is when she scents him. He smells like mint and leather and mine. For fuck's sake, am I scenting him?
Yep.
There's a really interesting thing, which I'm not sure if you would have picked out because I'm a total nerd. Put your shields up, Zayden orders. Now, Violet. I claw through the glacier of my mind, weird, not why all of a sudden it's a glacier, and shove the bricks of my shields into place. Zayden described his shields as building a brick wall, didn't he? Because he's on a mountaintop. Violet's shields have always been the door to the archives.
Yeah.
So, again, this, like we talked a bit earlier about the foundations of her life being shaken because she finds out the scribes are lying. I don't think she can trust the archives anymore. She can't trust the door. She shut the door, didn't she? That was her shield. That was her way of shielding out. And it was so solid. And she was really quick at it. She was amazing at it that first night that they kissed. And now she can't. And she's shoving the bricks of her shield in place. Why is she building bricks when she has the door to the... I think her whole archive in her mind has changed and she's not in control anymore.
Yeah. I think there was an interview with Rebecca Yarros. I can't remember if it was the one in London or a previous one to that. She's saying that, Violet Foundation and Iron Flame completely...
Crumbled, yeah.
Exactly. She was, like, really good. Fourth Wing, when she used to think the scribes they were really good, what she wanted to do, and even Zaydan was surprised how easily it was for her, like, start to shield. But then when she found out the truth, everything was going on, and like, she doesn't know what to believe.
Yeah.
And then archives.
She can't trust her mind anymore because it's not solid. And I read it, I thought it was a mistake. And then I was like, hang on, it's not a mistake, is it? She just can't trust the door to the archives anymore. And she's just desperately trying to build a wall.
Yeah. So I think that is really good because we obviously see that Rebecca Yarros even think about what she was feeling in that moment. Like a really deeply like psychological profile that what she was doing and how this will affect her and the character. So everything is reflected there. But the only way that Zaydan was able to help is with a really cold shower. So obviously the cold water shocked her, and they were like, okay, now is the time to do it before you come back to this chaotic experience.
Mm.
And then obviously they are together, they are wet.
No, we need to talk about Bodhi's flight jacket first.
Hmm.
It's Bodhi's, you territorial asshole. That's such an American word, isn't it? Asshole. That answer doesn't seem to help.
Yes.
We've spoken about this, but he can't read Bodhi's intentions, so he doesn't trust Bodhi 100%.
Or maybe he reads Bodhi's intention with Violet, and that's why he doesn't trust him. But now the question is like, okay, Bodhi gave the jacket just because she cared about Violet. Or he knew the one Satan sees her with the jacket will cause problem because
yeah.
Bodhi is trying to just
trying to get them
enough.
To fight, isn't
yeah.
he? Because he wouldn't have mentioned Catriona.
Yeah, why he did that?
He did it on purpose.
So it's like yeah. constantly throwing something for them to discuss. And
yeah,
they had a discussion here.
Yeah, yeah, it's working.
Yeah,
but what is the intent? What is his intent behind that? Is it because he thinks Sadon should be focusing on the rebellion? We know that he's thought that because when they went to Erasure at the end of Fourth Wing, he does say something like he should be focusing. I need to find the quote. Is it because he wants to break them up because he wants Sadon to be focused on the thing at hand, or does he want them to break up because it's his own?
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Either because he doesn't want Satan to be happy, or because
yeah.
he wants Violet.
Could yeah, but that would
well.
Be so stupid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Also, like the shower scene. If I like read these scenes like line by line, because Rebecca Yarros tries to distract us with sexy time, and something always happens. Something massive always gets dropped. But I am so distracted during this one. With the awkwardness of trying to get leather trousers off in the shower. Can you imagine? And like, she says he just raises his sleeve up to show her the scar. How is he doing that? It's probably like, trying to get off his arm. And then at one point, just like my dragon armor slaps to the ground. I'm just so distracted by this stressful, wet leather situation. I can't go.
Deflect and distract.
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah, that's what she's doing with the sex scenes.
That is what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. I told you. It's been like reprimanding their desire for such a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, none of them wants to keep going.
Satan annoyed me at the beginning of this one, though.
Why?
I was like, you were worried about me because you care about me. Why is he doing that? He's so annoying. He's not annoying, I love him, but in that moment, he's just being really childish.
But it's like, finally, he gets confirmation that actually Violet, he still loves him, because all the time when they be like fighting, maybe he's not sure that actually he can take him back, that maybe something actually has changed, and maybe he's going to lose her. And then when he gets this, like, oh, you actually care about me, or you
he's doing
think
it
about
to,
it.
So he's it's just like,
no, I think he's like genuinely like happy, like, oh my God, you love me. Or
no, but keep that in your head then. If you say it out loud, it's because he's trying to wind her up. When he says, you seem a little angry that I'm not at Malik's doorstep, would you rather I be bleeding to death in the infirmary?
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's another mention to Malik. And at Malik's doorstep, I definitely think we're going to visit Malik at some point.
I hope not, to be honest. It would be weird for me if we start to see like physically ghosts appearing here in this story. It would be like a completely different story.
No, spoiler alert for Harry Potter. I have a real feeling that we're going to get the death of one of Violet's dragons. She will be like almost dead. At that point, she will have a conversation with Malik in, you know how Harry has his conversation with Dumbledore?
In the beyond.
Yeah. And then her connection, her tether to life with the other dragon will pull her back again. Got a weird suspicion that will happen. I also have a crackpot theory that Nalin is Malik, because Nalin became a god when he resurrected Brennan and he knocked Malik off his throne. So I just like, I know that's really random and I've not read that theory anywhere else, but I just have this weird suspicion that we will get a situation where Violet meets Malak and Malak may or may not be Nilan.
Yeah. I mean, Kaori was the one who said that he was trying to basically be a god, and that's why he died. Because
yeah, I don't think he was. I think he was trying to save the man he loved, because I think he was in love with Brennan. But wouldn't it be so cool if he became a god and he knocked Malak off his throne?
And that's why we don't know anything else about him, because he was really busy, like, running.
It's just some things that Ten says, we pay no heed to your puny gods, and... Mm-hmm. I think he's pissed off with Nilan because he chose Brennan. He chose death to save Brennan over keeping his dragon alive, potentially. Mm-hmm. So he's pissed off and he's like, we pay no heed to your puny gods, because he's done with Nilan, and Nilan became Malak. I know it's weird and it's probably totally wrong, but...
It's a unique theory. It's going to say that.
I'd had added a note that he'd said, I'm not always calm or collected, and I'm never in control when it comes to you. And this made me think of when he freaked out in the Zayden POV chapter after threshing, when he sees Dane kissing Violet, and he literally has to pin his feet to the ground with his shadows. He like makes his shadows pin his feet to the ground, and like shadows just like pop out of him, and I think it's Garrick, isn't it? It's like, you all right there? I love that scene, and I couldn't find it because I don't have the Zayden POV chapters on my Kindle. I need to get the physical book.
Yeah,
but I do really love that bit.
You know, something curious, after this sex scene, by the end, Zayden says again, death for me, I swear.
Yeah.
So again, doing that reference. And just for curious, I look at the Kindle looking for death for me, just to see how many times we see that in the book.
I told you last week I'm done with that.
Yeah, but this is the funny thing. When I put death of me, appear just twice. That's why I found it so weird, that because I was expecting like...
In Iron Flame. Okay, it's loads in Fourth Wing, surely.
Yes, but in Iron Flame, it's literally when Violet is saying the like, this mountain from Tern is going to be the death for me. And then this part, death for me. The rest is like 21 reference, but they're not together. So it's going to be death, and then later me, or thing like that. But those three words, death of me, together, just twice. Which, it was surprising for me, because, like I said, I was expecting more of that. But then, I don't know if that actually means something, the foreshadowing again. You will be the death of me.
Several times in Fourth Wing.
Oh, yeah, in Fourth Wing, there's... Not only Violet and Zayden say it,
Rihanna, but
Rihanna, I think Redox somewhere. There's like a few people that say that we understand.
Mostly Zayden, though. I don't know what else this scene is hiding, because I got a little bit distracted.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. but there is a suspicious mention of her eyes. The way the blue in your eyes outshines the amber right after. And this is another like colour changing reference that makes me think of Andarna and maybe her connection to Andarna.
Yeah, Andarna's girls change colour, so by side change colour as well.
Why do our eyes change colour?
Yeah.
I tell you who else's eyes change colour? Venin's eyes. But they go red.
I knew they were they're red, no, they just change it like red, orange or something.
No, they changed it around. Then there's another couple of things. He kisses me like I'm the answer to every question, which isn't potentially another truth sayer, question answering hint. I don't know, it's vague.
Yeah. Do you think the Anonix Stone, right? Kajar is going to be like really obvious this time about what's going to be Violet's signet, because only she said the people didn't get it, and this one,
yeah,
when she thought it, she was obvious, and I was gonna be like, okay, I had to maybe literally say what the segment is.
I think, well, Violet's got to realize it at some point, hasn't she? So that'll be a conversation. Yeah, there's a really good bit. He kisses me like I'm the answer to every question, like everything we've been and will be hinges on this moment, and maybe it does. And he chooses. So this to me feels like he's choosing her over himself. He's choosing, like, he's talking about that he risks himself, doesn't he? Without knowing truly how she feels, although he does know. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, was a bit of foreshadowing that he would risk himself for her. And we see him turning venom at mm-hmm. the end of the book. And it's really subtle. And you would never know that that was coming until you know the end of the book, but it mm-hmm. it's quite nice.
Yeah.
I highlighted it smacks to the ground. I've already talked about that. The leather armor is so awkward. this is a good scene. To talk more about the scene. I want to talk about, like, the shadows blasting through the room. Rock cracks and water bursts from the aqueducts. They're like smashing the place up. Did you not notice that?
Yeah, of course. But it's always happening when they come and say it. Like, yeah, lightning and shadows everywhere.
Rock cracks and water bursts from the aqueducts.
How can they do that with shadows? Like,
his shadows are like really, really solid. I don't think it'll be that much of a problem, though, because the outpost has just been attacked. She was like, there was bits of the wall falling down. So I don't think anyone will really notice. It will just be like part of the standard repairs after an attack.
But they can hear. They attack everything.
I wanted to play a game. So when Violet and Zayden
mm-hmm.
get it on.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
They were so childish. They lose control of their signets, right? This can't be just them, can it?
I'm not sure if losing control because they love so much or they need that much.
Well, that makes
everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Because we haven't seen any other reference. Like, I know when Rhee and Sawyer, they were having sex.
I don't think they had. They were in the
Well, they were just in threshing, after threshing, basically. So there was no.
Yeah, they weren't channeling.
So nothing, but,
I thought it'd be really funny to think about what might happen. So imagine Imogen, she loses control, and then she accidentally wipes the memory, and they're like, oh, what are we doing here?
What would be like the most incompatible sickness to have during, you know, this kind of thing? Because we have Violet, for example. She's lightning. What about if she's with water wielder?
She'd be like the storm of the century. And I thought some funny ones, like not incompatible, but Mira. Mm-hmm. She might just blast the person away with her wards. She might put a big shield up. Distance wielder. They could end up on the other side of the world. Yeah. I had so much fun thinking about this. Like, Bodhi would be absolutely fine. Like, Bodhi would be a safe person.
It would be like something really normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, then Riddock, he is our ice wielder, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're frosty.
Unless he was with a fire wielder and they could
steamy.
Yeah, it would be really steamy. That's so funny. I'm sure there's more really funny ones, but those are the ones that came to mind.
Okay. Anything else to add to this chapter, or should we move on? Oh, of course. Come on. Stay down. Have it settled.
No, it's not that. Honestly, mm-hmm. it's not that. I'm thinking of other stuff. Like, so they probably pauses. We can clean up, find a water wielder to dry out our clothes. Like, I am fascinated with mundane uses of signets. A water wielder. So they just, like, what does he do? Just suck out all the water from the clothes. Wouldn't it be better to be an air wielder? If you could just, like, have a little hair dry.
I don't know. Water wielder, like, they can create the water. They just, the water, they control it.
I think they
control
they
move it. Like,
they can move it around.
Kind of like Aquaman, isn't it? Like, controlling the water
wheel or
something.
But But why? So basically, they could just like squeeze all the water out of, and all of a sudden it's dry. If you ask me, like, what I would like, which Signet I would like after a shower when all my like dragon scale armor is wet, it would be an air wielder. You know, like those things you get in the swimming pool where you just stand in and you put a pound in and it blows all the air at you.
Yeah.
This is like that conversation we had about when all the cadets were shoveling the snow out of the courtyard. Just mundane uses for Signets that I just really like thinking about it. And then he mentions the flight jacket again. And he's like, get you into one of my flight jackets.
Yeah.
So he's still thinking about Bodhi's.
Yeah. Right. It's territorial.
It was a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Rebecca Yarros has sneaked in lots of things that we missed out. Chapter 28.
Yes. Okay. Chapter 28.
Though Griffin riders are not capable of producing Signets, they are not powerless. In fact, some would argue that they have honed lesser magic, especially mind work, into the deadliest weapon of all. Underestimating them is an error. I've got something to say about this.
Yes, this just come right before introduce Catriona, so could be reference to her, obviously.
I think it's bigger than that.
What is it?
He calls mind work.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Major Garion Savoy could be a woman. They call mind work.
Yeah.
Lesser magic, not a signet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all mind work.
Yes.
This made me think of Imogen, who does mind work,
mm-hmm.
and potentially Bodhi, who does mind. Yeah, countering signets feels like it's a mind thing. They never actually call it his signet. They just say he can counter signets. They didn't say his signet is countering signets. Could just be mind work. We know that Zayden's is a second signet.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just that Imogen's honed lesser magic? Mm-hmm. They don't call it a signet. It's lesser magic, which makes me feel like anyone could do it if they had honed it well enough.
Yeah. I don't know if other refers as because they only come with lesser magic, then maybe they get stronger and they can do like more stuff with this, including the mind work, which means they maybe a rider, if they focus as well and lesser magic, they can do it as well.
Because they can.
Yes. So they can do like little things. We know that. They open a door or bring us stuff. There's floating in the air, thing like that.
Mm.
But I'm guessing if they focus just on that and get the signet stronger, then maybe they can start moving on and start doing the same thing the flyers can do, like mind works, which is interesting for me. It's like, what kind of mind work we'll see later on, because it's everything with the mind. So can you like put like a fake memory? Or can you delete memories or change something in your personality? Because if you're affecting directly the brain, what can you do?
I don't think we know much about... We know Catriona has, like...
She can amplify the...
Emotions.
Feeling that you have already there.
The only other one I remember, and obviously we're about to go into it, we're into this, like, part two and learn a lot more about the Griffin Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one I really remember is a similar truth sayer.
Mm-hmm.
So when they arrive at Takaris's place, he says, tell me why you're here. Tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tell if they're lying. So she says, I'm here to show him I can wield. Brennan says, I'm here to negotiate
for
the Luminary. And Mira says, make one move and I'll kill you. And he's like, yeah, she's telling the truth. So I don't know if that's mind work, but he can kind of tell if somebody's lying. The other thing I wanted to say about this, I do feel like that is a suspicious mention that mind work is lesser magic. And we know some, so that I thought that was suspicious. Also, it says, Griffins of Poromiel, a study in combat by Major Garion Savoy. I didn't know if this was a rider or a flyer, but when you look at it says, though Griffin riders, He doesn't call them flyers. If they were, if that Major Garry and Savoy was a, obviously he's a flyer because he's saying underestimate, obviously he's a rider because he's saying underestimating them as an error. It's a Navarian book, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that's the reason they call it Griffon Riders, because only a flyer, you will know that the right turn is flyers, not riders.
Yeah.
That's just like when Satan was fighting with Violet and saying that he was like, that today is called flyers, not riders.
I also think maybe they're just underestimating them then, because he's saying not capable of producing signets. Maybe they are. Maybe they're just the same. In fact, some would argue they've honed lesser magic, especially mine work, to the deadliest weapon. Maybe he's underestimating them by saying that's not a signet, and actually it is a signet. I don't know. But Tern's a bit sassy in this chapter. We've got sassy Tern back.
Obviously, Terrence is not agreeing to take Violet to this place, but he's taking it under his conditions. And then something that it can jump out on me, something that Terrence was mentioning here about Violet was saying that I'm doing this to protect Seda, and then the same way I'm protecting Sagel, because you should care about at least to Sagel if you don't care about Seda. And then Terry is the one who said, well, listen, the Shadow Will there, she will be emotionally inconvenienced. That is true. But he doesn't say, if Satan dies, Sagel will die. So.
So we know the bond gets stronger with every bond. She bonded his granddad.
And then he died like between 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So the bond can be that strong.
Yeah, but I think, I honestly think, I see what you mean. I wonder if Rebecca Yarros has put it there because of that.
Mm.
But I also think that Tern would say it anyway. Tern says the Shadow Wielder is not my concern. He pretends he doesn't like Zayden. He does like Zayden.
Oh, yeah.
And as for losing the Shadow, I think he would just say that anyway. But I know what you mean about Rebecca putting things there on purpose. I like when she criticizes it, she's like a backseat driver. She's like, that was abrupt. And he's like, next time you fly and I'll ride. It's just that,
He's just the best. Still my favorite.
He said, undo that strap and I'll launch. His head swivels eerily snake-like to glare at me over his shoulder. My jaw drops. You can't be serious, I whisper in a hiss. Try me. His golden eyes narrow into slits. I agreed to come to the drop-off. I did not agree to endanger your life when we are easily within a wyvern's flight from Zolia. I, too, remember what happens to dismounted riders.
Yeah.
He's talking about Naylan. He's not talking about what's-her-name, who was killed, sorry, rest in peace, whoever you are, in the Battle of Resen.
That's another good question. Where was Tern when all of this happened? Because normally riders and dragons are always together, really close. And if Nelly was trying to bring Brennan back to life, Tern has to be somewhere close. He never goes that far away from the rider, even when it's in a fight specifically.
We're going to get that scene. We're going to get it. Surely we're going to get a flashback of that scene. And I think we'll get it from Tern's
perspective. Tern is still thinking about this really painful or something that he doesn't want to talk about.
Maybe we'll get it from Naylan when we go to Malak's house.
For me, it's just weird if in the end, like, everyone there who was there, they're not there. Like, Brennan, he was there in the beginning. Naylan was there in the beginning. Then Brennan is alive. And then Naylan alive again.
Because I don't think Naylan's alive. I think he's dead. I think he's dead. I think he's a god. I think he's in the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% convinced by this theory, but I'm pretending. I'm like sounding like I am, aren't I? She says, maybe I'm not the only one with bad dreams. Dragon's dream?
I think so.
Also, she's sitting more than 25 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
And Zayden's like, don't worry, you'll still be able to hear everything that's going on down there.
No.
You absolutely wouldn't. And she's like, I can see the expression on her face. She would not be able to see that from 25 feet up in the air. I know my eyesight is bad, but...
And they're talking, like, when she's talking to Serena as well, like, they're talking just like, they are just really close.
I know, yeah, good to see you. Good to see you survived. She'd be like, good to see you survived.
What?
What did she say? and then we find out that the griffins are only about a foot taller than Zayden.
Yeah.
So griffins are teeny tiny compared. How can a griffin really take down a dragon?
Well, that's why I think Andarna, she was like, oh, they look so delicious because they're like small.
It's like a goat.
Chicken nugget, maybe. That's how it looks for Andarna. We don't eat our allies.
We don't eat our allies.
But yeah, Zayden wasn't happy at all because he nearly lost an arm because he thought they were like Serena's people.
Mm.
So he was like, what the fuck's going on? And she was like, oh, well, I can't control everyone. So what can you expect when we need more weapons than the one that you can provide?
Mm.
And I agree. 23 or 20 or whatever, it's just not enough when you have a full army.
It's not enough, but you would think that they wouldn't attack the one where the one person who is desperately trying to help them is there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're obviously getting so desperate, and Zolia's down. So yeah, they just lost 10,000 people. Also, how much of... I mean, you'd expect that all the Peromish army would know about Venon because they know about Venon. But could there be some propaganda going on where they say it's dragons and Wyvern, and they kind of somehow suspect that N'var is behind this attack on Zolia? Because they must have some intelligence. And maybe that's why the offensive is so bad.
Yeah.
Mm. There's a cool thing here where she's talking about Kat. She's the kind of beautiful that would normally lead to positions in a king's court or on stage at the gate, at the theatres of Caldea. Somebody had commented on one of our reels about Kat, the one where Rebecca Yarros says she loves her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was now, I'm sorry. But she said that she predicts that she's going to end up with Auric. So she's going to get her crown somehow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this bit's quite good because it could be foreshadowing for that. So it said that she's the kind of beautiful that would normally lead to positions in the king's court. And then it mentions Caldea in the same sentence. So it could be a good shout. She could end up with Auric. I would like to think that Auric would have better. But maybe she'll mellow. Maybe she'll chill out a bit.
I mean, by the end of this book, Katrina was like on a good relationship with... Violet. It's just after the interview with Rebecca Yarros in London that we start to think about, like, oh, she's not done. She was going to come back trying to get Zayden. So we thought, like, by the end of Iron Flame, they're friends, everything is fine now. But then it's Rebecca Yarros saying, like, oh my gosh, she's going to get it.
Yeah. She's not going to give up. But yeah. I had a feeling that Serena would die, and that's how Kat would get her crown, because Takaris would die, then the crown, because Queen Moriah?
I think so, I can't remember.
Who
yeah.
I now
potentially
strongly suspect as Zayden's mother because of random and thoughtful's comment on our reel, and we had this good chat about it. I'm convinced now. Until something else, and then I'll be convinced.
I still think that Zayden's man is not close. There's not nearly close, and that's the reason that he doesn't know anything about her.
Otherwise, she wants to put him in danger.
Yeah, but if she's like in Paramil and he's so close, he will see her in some point, isn't it?
He was 10. Everyone would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Serena is a bit... She says, good to see you made it through the unfortunate assault.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Unfortunate assault. That's an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then Zayden gets angry.
You can tell that Zayden is just no filters, no mercy. When he's saying, like, well, if I had to choose between you and my people, or village or my people, if I had to kill you, I'll kill you.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, because he's talking about N'var.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just talking about erasure. If he was talking about erasure, because he talks about the movement, which is definitely erasure, but they're not under the wards.
No, he's talking about the people from Navarre, the people that are under the wards, because he knows that if our war is fueling the wards stops, Navarre will fall, and with Navarre team falling, everything will fall off as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she says, I'm not going to blame other drifts in other chains of command who have to follow orders. So this is another like nod to the fact that they all have different, that each area has a different army.
Yeah.
We need more weapons than you can supply. There are enough daggers in the outpost to arm 100 flyers. And then they said, you'll condemn us all to death if you take down the only wards standing between the Venon and the hatching grounds at Buzgaeus. It's our only forge, and there's enough raw magic in that range to feed them for a century. They'd be unstoppable. This is interesting because, again, like, honestly, the comment section of our Instagram is like Reddit. Somebody here commented in our Violet has dragon blood reel that went a bit crazy that they could be after Feathertails, and that's why they want to get to the Vale. Is part of a Feathertail's blood or something the cure for Venon, like we suspected? And so they want to get rid of them all so that there is no cure.
It's just Venon everywhere.
Yeah, because they know. And that's why Jack is so invested in the killing the Feathertail, because he doesn't, he wants to get rid of the cure.
Well, he wasn't Venon by that time, didn't he?
No, but I think it was probably always his plan, wasn't it?
He once turned. And then when he didn't get it, then you say, fuck it, turn on Venon off.
Yeah. Also, it's our only forge. There has been a war for about 400 years or whatever, and they've only got one forge still. Why?
Been busy protecting the wards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we meet Kat, and then there's nothing that triggers Violet with our name. Until by the end of the chapter, when Serena called her, and then, but Violet catch immediately there's like resemblance between Kat and Serena. So she said they might be cousins or maybe sisters. But I was thinking as well about she could basically say the same about Seidel and Bodhi. There's a resemblance, but they're officially cousins. But maybe it could be
More. And is the jacket situation sibling rivalry? No, but if they are siblings, and I know that, siblings, No, if they are siblings, even full-blown ones, they, Zayden doesn't know. Because Zayden says he hasn't lied to Violet.
That would be Fenrir's own secret, not Zayden.
Yeah.
So I think Zayden is not lying about that he believes that he doesn't have siblings. He thinks that he's the only one. But I think something happened. Because I think Zayden came, and then, yeah, maybe 2 years later, I don't know if Fenrir had an affair with somebody or something happened, and then, boom,
Bodhi came. Well, it would be very Game of Thrones, wouldn't it? And we know Rebecca Harris is a fan of Game of Thrones. Garrick will see your next shipment is delivered at the appointed location. Is that because Garrick's a distance wielder?
We're still just guessing about his sickness.
So everything points to distance wielder, apart from the fact that Zayden says there is no, there hasn't been a distance wielder in hundreds of years. Like, why would he say that if his best friend
is a distance wielder?
He wouldn't. So it can't be a distance wielder. But if you were on a treasure island with Garrick, what would you want? Someone where you could escape. Although I think Garrick's signet is something to do with finding things. I think he's a wayfinder or a, like, because he found the note at Aspine. There's a few things, like, obviously his dragon is sensitive to runes, but I know that's not necessarily related. But if you were on a desert island, you would definitely want a wayfinder or somebody who could find you, but or find food and things.
For me, the one that is like hitting my number one and Gary's signet, he had the ability of communicating long distance.
Yeah, I said because this the other day, didn't I? Yeah.
That's something that you would love, having a desert island. Somebody is able to communicate and say, send help, we are here on this island.
Yeah. Yeah, but why wouldn't Garrick communicate with Violet from a distance to say that Zayden's okay? There's been an attack, but Zayden's okay.
Why Zayden didn't say to Gary, do this or do that? Even he was surprised when he saw Violet, so obviously for Zayden wasn't a big deal that he got injured. So he didn't know. Oh, well, yeah, he said that, oh, well, I guess that when the news went to Bas Gaia, they didn't know the demand from, can't remember which post when it came. So really, he thought that maybe...
I do love that one, though. I do really love that one.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out what Garrick's signet is. If he is a distance wielder, it would fit with all this stuff. But I'd be a bit annoyed that Zayden had said there hasn't been one in 100 years. Or whatever, 1,000, I don't know.
And why he didn't too directly Violet when she was so bad injured, they was nearly dying. When Zayden decided to take it to Brennan. I'd say, Gary, take it to Brennan.
That's a really great point. Unless you're a distance builder, but you can't take somebody with you.
Or maybe if you just start in, you have you like a limit of how far away it can go.
Yeah.
But then you can just jump.
Can you take your dragon with you?
Probably not. That would be like a massive thing to take, wouldn't it?
Don't know.
Another person I think you should be able to do it.
I like the way it's described in ACOTAR. This isn't a... spoiler, if you haven't read A Court of Thorns and Roses or that series, but they call it winnowing, and it's essentially like folding a map in half and jumping from the dot to the dot that touch each other.
So basically like a wormhole. It's like literally the description.
Yeah.
Physics. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Serena trusts Zayden. She says, they don't trust you like I do, and it seems like she's being a little bit smarmy. But he's not having any of it. Come for our wards and I'll watch you die.
It's so weird because they were, in some point, like, related. Like, sister-in-law, brother-in-law. Because he was engaged with Catriona. And obviously, Zayden has something about siblings, big sisters. Because the same way Mira just, like, wants to kill her, all of them.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
No, I think he likes her. I think he likes Serena more than he likes Kat.
Yes. Well, I think he respects Serena for the stuff that she does. Because, you know, that she does the right thing, same thing that he's doing. But, yeah, you can see that Zayden is just, like, struggling to just link with them because he's just like getting enough with all of that he's doing, and this like how they pay to him. But yeah, in the end, like, okay, we're still friends. As long as you don't fuck us, I won't fuck you up. And then they had to go, and then Serena, they want to say, okay, Catriona, come on, let's go. And it's when Violet, boom, had this aha moment. Catriona, the one the body was saying, oh, it's her. So it's when Violet finally she realized that Catriona, she's been looking weirdly at Zayden, but then she understand there was no like he was fancying him, it was like maybe remember something about him.
Remembering something.
Yeah.
She shouts down from 25+ feet in the air, stay alive, Serena. I'm starting to like you.
What?
What did you say it again? And then, she's remembering what Bodhi said. I've never seen him care like this. And that includes Catriona. Mm. Apart from what we've already talked about with Bodhi, why did he say that? It was an arrangement. So when he says, and that includes Catriona, it makes me think Zayden did really try. Like, he knew it was for the good of Erasure. He did really try, but they were totally incompatible and he fell for Violet, and I think that was the trigger. It seems like it was, but the fact that he says and that includes Catriona, he obviously did care for her at some point. Or am I reading that wrong?
I think because it was in the end Zayden's fiance, so I think he will care. She was His fiance. So I think just because of that, he will care about her and just like keep her alive. And
yeah, he taught her to fight.
Yeah. So maybe in some point he thought that she would be his wife, the person they're going to like spend the rest of his life. So better just have like, a good relationship or something, because they even have sex and everything. Why they should have sex when they're not even married or they're not even supposed to like...
Are you a very good Christian?
No, but this is a range, you know? Yeah. It's not like they
Yeah, I know, but...
They're not like they're feeling it like, oh, it's going to get engaged or anything.
He's, like, they're very, very attractive people. Like, what he said is, like, you don't have to love someone to sleep with them. That's totally true.
Yeah, so that's my point. So, obviously, if they're having sex, it's because they want something. Maybe not stronger enough for Satan to think, oh, she's the one. Because after Violet was like, no, I'm just wasting time with Catriona when Violet is everything.
Quite a lot happened, but not a lot happened at the same time in those four chapters. Next four is going to get good. Like, we're starting to get into the bit where, spoiler alert, I mean, if you've got to this point and you haven't read on, then what are you doing here? But we're going to tell the squad next week, and then things are going to start to get really interesting.
Now we're getting to part two.
I'm getting close to part two, which is so good. It's when it changes, like it cranks up the speed, doesn't it? So yeah, I'm excited to get stuck into the next four chapters. I think these ones kind of set you up, don't they? Jack came back, we meet Catriona, we get the attack, we know that Devera potentially is going to... So some of the things that happen in these chapters.
Also, there was some comments as well about... Catriona's uncle or
Takaris.
Yeah. There's like he's interesting to see. Well, basically, it was a reference about Violet, and that way Violet said to say that we were going to talk about this later.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
We start to see there's kind of like foreshadowing about what's going to happen in part two.
Yeah. If you've made it to this point again, like what you've heard, please give us a rating on wherever you are watching or listening to us. It really helps us reach new people. We are absolutely blown away by the engagement that we're getting on at Faithfully Fantasy Pod on Instagram. We've said this a few times, but our favorite part of this whole thing is just chatting theories in the comments. We've joked about it, but we'd love it to be like a mini version of Reddit where you can come and chat through your theories. I did promise somebody I'd give a shout out, and it is Lady J Ray 86. She's trying to convince her best friend to read Fourth Wing, but it's not happening yet. So Lady J Ray 86, play this to your best friend. Please read Fourth Wing so she can have chats with you about it, and then you can come and chat to us about it. A lot of the theories that we talked about today have kind of been triggered by those conversations. So the more you come and talk to us in the comments on our reels or in DMs or however you want to do it, the better the theories are going to get, because we basically share a theory and you guys make it so much better. You just add on different bits, and it is my favorite thing to do, to read those comments at the end of the day throughout
Like you say, Instagram is starting to turn into a little Reddit. When everyone comes here with a theory, we just talk about it, we share our thoughts, our theories, and then we make it all part of the group.
So yeah,
we're really thankful with that.
Like maybe 75% of our followers, which has just grown so quickly, we couldn't have even imagined it, came from this one reel, mostly the one about Violet having feathertail blood. Yeah, the comments on there, just absolutely love reading them.
Also, don't forget to visit our website. You can find all the episodes from Faithfully Fantasy. We have more information about us. We're trying to come with new things. We're still working on it. So don't forget, it's faithfullyfantasy.com.
Yeah. So until next week, please continue the conversation with us over on Instagram. Don't forget to follow on your favorite podcast app and give us a rating.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. We say goodbye for now, but we'll see you next Tuesday with more Faithfully Fantasy.
Bye. Bye.